May I speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week I was talking about the subversiveness of Jesus as far as religion is concerned. Jesus is surprisingly skeptical about religion. It comes out very clearly in a number of places in the story of the Good Samaritan that is at least as much a story against religion and its dangers as it is a story in favor of neighborliness. It comes out in Jesus saying that the Sabbath is made for people, not people for the Sabbath. Jesus doesn't set up religion as something that people should be made to conform to. Jesus seems to see religion as a means to an end, as something that serves the needs of humanity. But Jesus' subversiveness doesn't stop there with being subversive about religion. Jesus is also subversive about wealth and relationships and the way we run our society, radically subversive. And it's that I want to talk about this evening. We value fairness, but Jesus seems to put a much higher priority on generosity than he does on fairness. We tend to set up a tight little circle of people, family and close friends, to whom we have trusting relationships and are prepared to be neighborly. But Jesus seems to want us to open that out to almost anyone. We tend to accumulate wealth as best we can, but Jesus is warning us of the dangers of that and saying it makes it very hard for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to unpack those various strands in turn. We value fairness. Fairness seems to be something that we can agree about, a decent basis for running society. But Jesus is surprisingly subversive about fairness. It comes out in the gospel reading we heard this evening. Jesus is just not being fair to the people who had worked all day. In the generosity of the person about Jesus is telling the story, in their generosity they give the same to the person who's worked only 1 hour as to the people who've worked all day. It's generous, but it's not fair. And it's a very clear parable of the greater importance that Jesus attaches to generosity than he does to fairness. And it comes out in the story of the prodigal son as well. The father in that story is being unfair to the older son who stayed at home and worked in a loyal, conscientious way. And when the prodigal son comes home after behaving like a wastrel, he gets a feast for him. It's not fair, but it's generous. And Jesus is telling us very clearly in these stories that he wants us to set aside what we regard as fair and reasonable and just, and to be generous instead, radically generous. We're glimpsing here a completely different way of behaving to each other. And I have to admit that I find it so radical that I don't quite see how it can be made to work. But it continues to tantalize me, and I do at least want to try and get my mind round the alternative kind of life that Jesus is inviting us to consider, to see whether it might work. Because the way we do things at the moment isn't working very well. Maybe there's a radical alternative that, if only we could embrace it with heart and mind, would work much better. Generosity rather than fairness. And extending the circle of people to whom we are willing to be neighborly. Most of us have some, at least some limited circle of people. that we feel we can trust and with whom we can be neighborly. We can be neighborly with them and look after them. They'll look after us. And the secular reading that we heard this evening from Shane Claiborne actually brought that out very well. Except he was establishing that kind of trusting relationship with people beyond the circle that most people would establish such a relationship with. Trust is in very short supply in our society. And it seems to be there's been a pretty radical decline in trust over my lifetime. Looking back and wondering when that happened, I think the sharp decline in trust began about 30 years ago. People just don't trust one another, even in the way they used to. And we try to replace that with a whole machinery that makes up for lack of trust, a machinery of accountability and bureaucracy and all that stuff. And that's brought big incomes for lawyers and accountants. But it seems to me it hasn't made up for the radical erosion of trust that has taken place in our society. Jesus seems to be envisaging a society in which we can be generous with each other because we can trust them to be generous to us when we need it. A society in which people look after each other. Not just a small group of people who know each other very well, who have that kind of trusting relationship, but a relationship of trust that cuts across the whole of society. It would be a different way of running our country, a way of running it on generosity and trust, extending neighborliness to a far wider circle of people than we normally do. There's a time in the gospel story you probably remember when Jesus' mother and brothers come to find him, and the disciples tell him, "Your mother and brothers are here." And Jesus, in one of those apparently harsh and difficult sayings, says, "Who are my mother and my brothers? Everyone here are my mother and my brothers." Jesus is perhaps talking in an exaggerated way to make his point, as I think he sometimes does. But he's trying to get us to see that he wants us to treat everyone with the kind of trust that we would treat our intimate family. And what a radically different society that would be. And wealth. Most of us try to accumulate what wealth we can for a rainy day. Some people manage that a bit better than others, but I think it's something most of us would like to try and do if we could. And this principle of saving up something for a rainy day as a kind of insurance against hard times, that's deeply ingrained. It's part of the wisdom of our society that we should do that. We should try to accumulate wealth. But as Jesus says, what good does it do us to accumulate things here where moth and rust corrupt? We can't take that with us into eternal life. And Jesus is pretty trenchant in his comments about the dangers of wealth. The rich young person who comes to him and asks what he should do to inherit eternal life. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor. And it's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Not impossible, but just very, very difficult. And why is that? Because of the kind of mindset that is associated with the accumulation of wealth and the lack of generosity that is involved in that and the self-preoccupation, the putting our needs before other people's needs. The measure of generosity is probably not how much we give away, but how much we keep after we've given something away. Probably most of us who can are generous in limited ways. But if you're like me, the ways in which we're generous are quite limited, and we keep quite a lot back for ourselves. And I think that's not the way of Jesus. Jesus seems to be envisaging a radically different society in which we feel free to be generous to other people because we trust other people and count on them to be generous to us when we need it. Could this possibly work? Isn't this hopelessly idealistic? As I've said, it's a way of living that I've never been able to embrace except in a very, very limited way. But I find it a very attractive dream that won't let me go. Jesus is holding out to us a radically different way of ordering our affairs, a sense of interconnectedness with a much broader range of people than I can get my mind round, a kind of radical generosity that trumps the principle of fairness and trusts other people in a radical way. The way we try to run our society at the moment doesn't seem to work very well. None of the ways in which we try to run our society seem to work very well. The hoped-for alternative of centrally directed economy of the Soviet communist system clearly didn't work. The capitalism of our society doesn't seem to have worked very well, and it gave us the banking crisis that has created enormous problems for so many people. I don't think we can be complacent and think that we have found a good way of running our society. And maybe this radical and apparently idealistic way that Jesus seems to be inviting us to consider, maybe that is worth seriously considering. It's subversive of all our normal values, but it invites us to take trust and generosity and neighborliness seriously. Maybe we should think about it again.